Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines today, Monday, December 23rd, outgoing President Joe Biden commuted the sentences of almost all federal death row prisoners in the United States. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Ethiopia's bishops urge the faithful and the nation's leaders to find inspiration in the King of Peace this Christmas season. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Following appeals from numerous humanitarian groups and religious leaders, including Pope Francis, outgoing U.S. President Joe Biden has commuted the sentences of 37 federal death row prisoners to life imprisonment. Christopher Wells tells us more.
In an act of clemency prior to the end of his term in office, U.S. President Joe Biden has commuted the sentence of 37 of the 40 prisoners on federal death row to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. "Make no mistake," the president said, "I condemn these murderers, grieve for the victims of their despicable acts, and ache for all the families who have suffered unimaginable and irreparable loss." But the president said in a statement announcing his decision, "Guided by my conscience and my experience, I am more convinced than ever that we must stop the use of the death penalty at the federal level. In good conscience," he said, "I cannot stand back and let a new administration resume executions that I halted." Biden's decision to commute death sentences cannot be overturned by his successor, despite a pledge by incoming President Donald Trump to resume executions after his inauguration as president in January. In his previous term of office, Trump restarted federal executions after a nearly 20-year moratorium. That decision was reversed by Biden when he took office. Pope Francis has often appealed for the abolition of the use of the death penalty, most recently in his message for the World Day of Peace for 2025. Earlier this month, during the Angelus on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the Holy Father urged prayers especially for death row prisoners in the United States. "Let us pray that their sentences may be commuted or changed," he said. "Let us think of these brothers and sisters of ours and ask the Lord for the grace to save them from death." The Holy Father followed up on his appeal during a phone call with President Biden on December 19th. The bishops of the United States had likewise appealed to Biden to commute sentences of death row inmates, echoing calls from Catholic organizations as well as other religious and humanitarian advocacy groups. I'm Christopher Wells.
After that news, I spoke to the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Timothy Broglio, who welcomed the gesture, which he said respects life and called for advocacy of measures which respect life. We'll hear more from that interview tomorrow. Elsewhere, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. With the latest from the Holy Land, here's Nathan Morley.
In a statement, the organization said a ceasefire was long overdue. UNRWA condemned the constant violations of wartime laws, highlighting that time has been wasted in addressing the humanitarian crisis. It called for an immediate ceasefire to give respite for civilians and the release of hostages. UNRWA also pointed out the escalation in violence over the last 24 hours, with civilian deaths and injuries increasing. Attacks on schools and hospitals have become commonplace, the agency said, urging the international community to act and not remain indifferent. Israel has been conducting a huge military campaign in Gaza since October last year, following the Hamas attack in southern Israel, which killed around 1,200 people and took around 250 hostages. The ongoing conflict has led to a sharp rise in Palestinian casualties, with the Gaza health authorities reporting on Monday that the death toll has now reached 45,317. Elsewhere, according to Hamas, over 50 Palestinians were killed or injured in an Israeli military operation in the Nusayriyat refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip. Hamas claimed that the camp was stormed by tanks, bulldozers and military vehicles, along with a column of heavily armed soldiers. Seven Palestinians, including two children, were killed on Sunday when an Israeli airstrike hit a tent sheltering displaced people in the Mawasi area of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. That's according to Palestinian sources. That area, which stretches along the Mediterranean coast from the western part of Rafah to the outskirts of Nusayriyat, is designated by the Israeli army as a safe zone for Gaza residents. Elsewhere, the Lebanese prime minister said on Monday that the Lebanese army will carry out its full duties in southern Lebanon after Israel withdraws from the area. A ceasefire brokered by the United States and France went into effect last month, aiming to halt nearly 14 months of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. The terms of the ceasefire agreement include Israel's withdrawal from Lebanese territory within 60 days, with the Lebanese army deploying on the Lebanese-Israeli border and in the south, taking over security there and banning any presence of weapons and militants. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
India has experienced a rise in violence against Christians, with 745 incidents reported in 2024, surpassing 2023's total. As Francesca Merlo reports, the United Christian Forum has called for government action to restore peace and religious harmony.
According to the United Christian Forum, or UCF, India has seen a sharp rise in violence against Christians. From January to November of 2024, UFC's toll-free helpline received 745 reports of violence, surpassing the 743 cases recorded in all of 2023. Since 2014, incidents have risen steadily from 127 to 601 in 2022. This excludes the violence in Manipur, where sectarian clashes since May of 2023 have claimed over 250 lives and displaced over 60,000 people, primarily Christians. UFC convener AC Michael noted that violence continues despite constitutional guarantees under Article 25, which protects religious freedom. He urged Prime Minister Narendra Modi to establish a national inquiry into Christian persecution. Modi's tenure, beginning in 2014, coincides with the rise of the Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, which critics accuse of fostering hostility towards religious minorities. Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state, recorded the highest incidents, followed by Chhattisgarh, and both are BJP-ruled. 12 BJP-governed states have enacted anti-conversion laws, which Christians argue are weaponized by Hindu groups. The People's Union for Civil Liberties, or PUCL, claims that police often collude with perpetrators, leaving many incidents unreported due to victims' fear and mistrust of authorities. Adding to the concern, a 2022 Supreme Court petition seeking action against vigilante groups involved in anti-Christian violence has seen little progress. The UFC lamented that sadly the petition has not come up for hearing again. As Christmas nears, the UCF called for government intervention to protect religious harmony. We continue to pray for peace in our nation and hope the government will take assertive actions to restore peace and harmony amongst all citizens, the statement concluded. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Turning to Africa, as the Catholic Church in Ethiopia prepares for Christmas, the Ethiopian bishops are urging the faithful and Ethiopian leaders to seek inspiration from the King of Peace and to work toward peaceful coexistence in the country, which is still grappling with ongoing ethnic conflicts, instability, human rights violations, and humanitarian crises. The IPL came as they concluded their recent annual ordinary assembly. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In their message, the Ethiopian bishops expressed deep concern over the ongoing unrest affecting various parts of Ethiopia, which is also having adverse impacts on the pastoral work of the local church. Though the two-year armed conflict in Tigray between the Ethiopian forces and the Tigray's People's Liberation Front was formally settled in 2022, the situation in the region remains difficult, with ongoing efforts to address the humanitarian needs of the population and restore lasting peace and a stable local governance. Ethiopia's Amhara and Oromia regions have also been experiencing significant unrest and conflict, leading to severe humanitarian and human rights concerns. In the face of these challenges, the Ethiopian bishops again stressed the need for peace and reconciliation through dialogue. The King of Peace invites us to lay aside the tools of war, destruction, division and hatred, and to engage towards building peace, justice and unity among all people, they remarked. The message of Advent urges us to confront these harsh realities with honesty and compassion. The bishops therefore appeal to Ethiopian leaders across religious, political and economic sectors to prioritize dialogue, justice and peace, reminding them that true leadership is shown in listening, in seeking truth and in working tirelessly for the common good. They acknowledged ongoing efforts to mediate dialogue in conflict areas and insisted on the importance of practicing forgiveness and reconciliation on a daily basis. Additionally, the bishops called on the faithful to embody the spirit of Christ by extending compassion, especially to those suffering. Concluding their message, they implored all Ethiopians to reflect on God's love and work towards a nation that becomes a beacon of hope, peace and unity. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Each year in the days surrounding Christmas, Vatican Radio invites Christian leaders and heads of charitable organizations around the world to send Christmas greetings to our listeners. For the beginning of the year of Jubilee 2025, we've invited them to reflect on the transformative power of finding hope and the peace of Christ in a war-torn world. Today's message comes from newly created Cardinal Timothy Radcliffe. Let's listen.
Today, the world is seething with violence, more than at any time since the end of World War II when I was born. This anger breaks out in war between nations, but also within societies. The social media stir up anger. Anger attracts readers and so makes money. Even the church is filled with violent accusations. Jesus grew up in a country torn apart by violence too. As a child, he would surely have seen the crucified body of the 2,000 Jewish rebels horribly killed by the Roman occupiers. And yet, he was a man without violence who asked us to turn the other cheek. How can we learn from him? Violence springs up from fear, so that we do not see the other person as a fragile human being capable of love and hurt like us. Fear makes us see enemies, but we need not fear, since on Easter Day, love won the victory, hatred was defeated. Let us be liberated from the slavery of those who react to anger with anger. We are free to say, the violence stops with me, as it stopped with our Lord on Good Friday. We must claim our Christian freedom to begin again. Jesus saw the hidden dignity and goodness of the sick, of prostitutes, his enemies, and even of Roman occupiers. Let us open our eyes to see those whom we think of as enemies. If we do so, we shall see brothers and sisters made in the image and likeness of God.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Please stay with us for the Pope's Christmas events, including the opening of the Holy Door, inaugurating the Jubilee of Hope. Many thanks go this evening to Bruno Orti in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.